Next, from the CLW 83 Network, the fourth anniversary of the NAWC. And now, WrestleChat.net presents the North American Wrestling Connection, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007, sanctioned by... One of these three people had technical difficulties on WWE All-Star Raw this past Monday night. Number one, what is your name, please?
My name is Randy Orton.
Number two.
My name is Randy Orton.
Number three.
My name...
Only one of these men is the real Randy Orton, and is the only one sworn to tell the truth. Now let's meet our panel. Stat Boy Extraordinaire, Josh Henniger. Announcer and raconteur, Jim Williams. Game show contestant extraordinaire, Jason Block. And to tell the truth's very own, Typho. Here's the star of To Tell the Truth, Nikki Haven.
And to tell the truth, it's been a whirlwind 4 years for the North American Wrestling Connection. But we've been having a lot of fun along the way. So, WrestleChat.net loves us, CLW83 loves us. My name is Nikki Haven, and thank you, Mr. Jim Williams, for that wonderful, wonderful intro.
Oh, you're welcome. Always a pleasure. By the way, I have to say, apparently the people in Vancouver get Raw 2 days later. They didn't. They found out that Zack Ryder wasn't on the show, so they rioted the streets. I don't know what the deal was.
Sure, that wasn't tied into something else. Tied to Boston.
Ryder or Riot? I know he's got big broskies in Vancouver. I mean, BC broskies. Come on.
Either that, or it was just another thing that Cena won, right? So there's another riot.
Yeah, that could be it too. Yes.
But aside from Mr. Jim Williams, we have another one of our longtime talkers from deep in the heart of Texas, Mr. Typho.
Yes, I'm sunburned off my ass pretty much from the Dallas Mavericks victory parade. But I'm ready for a little more celebration because 4 years of the North American Wrestling Connection, I've been around for at least three of them, and I'm ready to do some more.
And we also have one of the saviors of the North American Wrestling Connection, who I admit was going to be on a little bit later, but it's good to have you around, from Thibodaux, Louisiana, Mr. Carl Chenier.
Hello. How you doing?
We're doing pretty good. And at least we're going to keep on doing.
And Jim, I'm here. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I was just making sure you were near the soundboard. I wasn't sure. I didn't know what was up, so. Hi.
And as we go through the show tonight, we'll probably have other members, that other co-panelists will be calling in as we go through the evening's activities. Two people that we will not hear from tonight. Jason Block is currently in Fort Wayne for a convention, so I fully do not expect to hear from him.
Unless drunk off his ass, yeah.
Probably. Also, of our few female panelists, Ms. Trista Simpson, I spoke with earlier today, and she said that unless I paid her phone bill, she wouldn't be able to call in tonight. So, Trista, I miss you, dear, and unfortunately, all of my money is wrapped up in the moon. So, but any of our other panelists who might be listening or hiding in the chat room when you get a few minutes, as we work our way into hour or two, please feel free to call in. We do have a lot to talk about tonight. And I skip over the minor technical difficulties with Randy Orton and microphone, but admittedly, I thought that was the start of one of his promos ever. The 3-hour All-Star Night for Raw I found it a really good show, and, you know, if anybody who missed it, go back and find some of this, because it was a very good show. Maybe I was missing something, but to be honest, I was expecting a few more, I guess, a few more special guests to come in. Jim, am I off target?
No, I think you're completely on the point. I'm actually going to say it was a more ordinary Raw than I would have expected for a three-hour extravaganza. I expected more out of it. I expected a little more glitz, a little more glamour, per se, some bigger names fighting, perhaps, and maybe a couple more Hall of Famers thrown in. But, I mean, fundamentally, the show wasn't bad. It's just, it didn't have that something extra that you would expect from an 8 to 11 Raw. That's just my opinion.
Given that the only, you know, one of the best little touches from the show was the video game graphics they used for Cena's match, and briefly for the match that didn't happen, the R-Truth John Morrison rematch, which I had something to riot about at least.
Yeah, I'm sure you did.
Wow.
So I'll throw this out there: has anybody heard anything about Jomo's current situation? Is he cleared to wrestle? Was this just a plot point, something for Truth to do just to get a little more heat on him going into his bout with Cena? Guys, will help me out here.
Yeah, from what I've understood, I don't think he's actually been cleared to come back to wrestle yet. I think he's still like 2 weeks away or so, and I think pretty much this was just like a final push into capital punishment to get R-Truth just that little bit more heat than he might need, or so he can go do the job to Cena.
Let's see, the other biggie, of course, as Jim mentioned, Ryder or Riott. Ryder ended up on Supercharge, where he cut a subpar promo and actually had a match. Now, and you guys see it, because I honestly can't comment on it, since I'm going off of second and third hand.
I watched it.
I saw bits and pieces of it.
Okay. How did Ryder come across?
He came across as a baby face, pretty much. He got a pretty sizable reaction when he came out. He got the mic, cut a promo about how everybody came to see him, everybody popped. He talked about how all his broskies were there, and they put the camera on his dad and the Big O in the crowd. And then he faced former tag team partner Primo, ended up getting a win, another pretty big reaction after the victory. There were just chants pretty much through the whole match of Ryder and various other chants.
And I think even the Long Island Live crowd was disappointed that they only saw him for Superstars. The We Want Ryder chants erupted at least twice that I recall through the event.
Yeah, and Matthew got those for Botchamania, and if you go to the latest Botchamania, I think it's 177 or 178, it does show some clips of the, during the match, We Want Ryder, We Want Ryder.
Yeah.
And of course, there were plenty of Ryder or Riott and Ryder Revolution signs in the crowd.
Were these confiscated? Anybody notice?
I don't think so.
No.
It looked like they were there through most of the show.
I would have settled for Ryder sticking around just to pop up for commenting on some of the very good promo work we heard Monday.
Bird!
Everything from Christian getting put down by having someone tell him that Edge was carrying him his whole career. R-Truth in another wonderful, wonderful promo telling everybody he's scared of himself. And The Miz nonchalantly commenting about how in 4 years the Nassau Coliseum is going to be shut down and replaced with nothing.
How about the best one of the night, Austin and CM Punk's backstage?
More beer? What? More beer? What? How about a shot of whiskey? That was beautiful. That was beautiful.
Say the alphabet backwards. I'll kick your ass backwards.
Woo!
Something tells me, despite rumors, I don't think Punk's really going anywhere. And I think I think a little pre-show bribe was thrown in. Did anybody catch the fact that we had Claudio Castagnoli and Chris Hero got dark? I think they got dark matches at this particular Raw.
They are being looked at by talent, by the powers that be. Something could come of this. You never know.
So my message to the evil Dr. Levesque is please hire Hero. That's just me.
And I do enjoy that since our good buddy Triple H has taken his new role, that we've seen some influx of some somewhat known indie talent on some levels, and now we may be getting even more. But I think my favorite comment so far was for our poor friend, the departed Jacob Novak. Someone said Triple H couldn't keep anyone around with a bigger nose than himself.
Well,
look at that honker.
Well, Hunter Nutter has to keep showing his aggressive side.
I'm an asshole.
And remember, admission is the first step.
Also, I'm going to take that segue. Novak has been forced out the door along with a couple of other developmental and the loss of Mr. Lake-based Michael Tarver.
There goes the epic tea bandanas sales on WWEshop.com.
I would have bought one.
I'm sure you would have. Put those right next to the Zack Ryder headband.
Hey, I would buy one of those. I mean, come on.
They keep teasing that those were going to happen, and I still haven't seen them.
I want one.
What I'm looking forward to, I said this on Tuesday, but with Michael Tarver being let go, he's the first actual, not counting Daniel Bryan's quote-unquote release, he's the first Nexus member to be let go. I'm waiting to hear him talk and see if the Nexus were told about where exactly it was they were going, storyline-wise. Because if what happened was what was supposed to happen, then all the writers should be fired immediately.
Well, there's that preemptive strike in the open rumor about Freddie Prinze Jr. I didn't even realize he was writing staff. I thought he'd already left.
I think he did leave, but he came back.
Oh, okay. Brave, brave man. So let's see. And probably one of the other good things that Austin did was that before the end of the show, he made sure everybody was aware Raw is going to also be a 3-hour event. Way to cut into my moving time, Steve. But it's another 3-hour show. It is a People's Choice show, which. With the exception of the last 10 minutes the last time we pulled this, it didn't really click.
2 hours and 55 minutes of some of the worst TV you'll see, saved by the best possibly 10 minutes in a decade.
Pretty much we have the Taboo Tuesday Cyber Sunday concert coming to Raw.
More or less.
More or less. I personally enjoyed Taboo Tuesday Cyber Sunday, but...
I kind of jumped the gun on Monday night. I was telling my friend that obviously this past Raw was should have been the draft had they not had to go into panic mode after Edge's retirement and do it in April. So when they came up with the All-Star Raw, I said, at least it's not viewer's choice. Whoops.
Oh, you jinxed it. You are the one who jinxed it.
You're always one.
Yep, it'll probably be my fault next Monday when we get Hornswoggle and Kali challenging for the tag titles again.
Yes. When my vote
this
really
year they'll
won't
probably
count.
Win them too.
Yeah, they probably would.
Don't even joke. But knowing about those wonderful 10 minutes of absolute destruction. No, guys, are they going to be able to top that, or do you think they're even going to try?
I'm always leery and skeptical about the concept of a fan-controlled show because, quite frankly, the fans really don't control the show, if you ask me. In a private bunker somewhere far, far away in a place called Stamford, there is every worker on late shift voting and voting and voting and voting and changing IP addresses and voting and voting and voting, that kind of thing. Of course, that's just me.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it could be interesting. It has the potential. We'll see what happens. I mean, I don't expect it to be a bad show. I'll put it to you that way.
Well, I've got my fingers crossed that they're still going to put together a good show. And having back-to-back 3 hours, that will expand even further. Something that I had come across. They are talking about doing. kind of like a game day, I guess. I don't think it would work unless they find a way to lure Chris Berman over. What do you guys think?
Oh,
the pre-show thing? Don't bring up Berman to Carl. That's a bitter pill. The pre-show you're talking about, you were breaking up a little bit.
Not just for me.
Yeah, the pre-show.
They're looking at it strictly from an advertising standpoint. Okay, maybe. But I'm also saying to myself, what the hell is USA going to put in the previous 30 minutes from a network standpoint? Because they don't have many half-hour dramas and half-hour this and half-hour that to put in.
Exactly.
Clip show of Law and Order.
Well,
yeah, time-compressed episode, yeah.
Well, I didn't know if they had those in the library per se. I see why they're doing it, but if pre shows for pay per views don't really do a whole heck of a lot, what's a pre show for a Raw going to do? I think they're going to try it out, maybe akin to what it speaks to me of them trying to be like the UFC doing pre shows. That's what it speaks to me as. And I don't know if it's going to work for wrestling, though.
I think it would be a good idea if, like you said, they do it kind of like the UFC, where they have preliminary matches with guys like that don't actually get time on Raw, maybe put two matches on that show, throw in some kind of video clip in between. But what they will do is we'll just get like 20 minutes of hype for whatever Cena's current angle is, a couple commercials, and then it's on to Raw.
I would like to see it come up more as, if throw a match in there, even though, it may end up rerunning on Superstars. Maybe an interview or rundown of current angles from both shows to save either show from having to run a rebound. And this could feasibly be a vehicle to get Scott Stanford on the air if they're not going to take Michael Cole off the table.
And Stanford does do better in a hosting role than he does a quote-unquote play-by-play role, so that would be a positive to me. I'm a member of the Stanford Army. Come on now.
Not to mention, he's a hell of a cameraman. Anyway,
they could use this pre-show constructively to save time during Raw, because one of my biggest pet peeves about Raw and SmackDown would be the constant having to replay every freaking thing that happens. It's like, oh, look, here's something that happened 10 seconds ago. Let's look at the replay. Oh, let's look. Here's another one. Here's the next replay. Oh, some guy's cutting a promo. Look what I did last week, everybody. Look up at the Tron. There it is again. Stop replaying everything. That just inspires people to say, well, I missed last week, but oh, well, I'll see what happened probably 30 times during the show anyway. No big deal.
Exactly. What? My pet peeve, to your point, Typho, is when they replay things. First of all, the first commercial break after they happen, and then at the midpoint of the show, and then again right before the main event in the case of a John Cena storyline. The replays are ad nauseum. I mean, we're not that big of a short attention span country, for God's sakes.
Yeah. I remember when I was younger, like, watching a show, maybe I missed a little and had to come in halfway, and I hear the announcers talking about something that happened earlier that I missed, and I'm like, oh, sucks that I missed it. I wish I could see it. But now I have to wait until, like, the weekend recap show to see it because they didn't replay it 500 times. Now if that happens, I'm like, well, I'll see it probably before the end of the show.
So, you know, this isn't going to happen until fall. So maybe they're just holding off, and they've got a some show to fill in the 8 to 8:30 slot. Since they really don't have anything right now, although I heard from the chat room somebody suggested reruns of Monk. I didn't watch Monk. I don't even know if it was 30 minutes or an hour. I really don't care. I don't watch NCIS.
How about Duckman?
That came up on the board. Oh my goodness.
That was underrated.
Oh, sheesh.
Didn't USA at one point have the critic?
Yeah, that Duckman. There was another.
You gotta just rotate those each week. They were both 30-minute shows. Just give us reruns of Duckman and the critic.
Well, I think the critic was still airing on Reels Channel up to what, last year or something?
Something like that. Well,
they'll
figure it out. They're USA. They're the number one cable network. They can figure something out.
They rotate four shows, so they'll have to find something new.
Law and Order is Law and Order. NCIS, yeah.
Yeah, well, I like Eddie on there, but that's okay.
Well, since a couple of the things with All-Stars, one of the few legends that did show up was Rowdy Roddy Piper. And can I say the man looked amazing as
God bless
somebody finally... Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying God bless him. He did look good.
He's looked good. He's looked in years, that's for sure.
And he was having way too much fun out there with Miz and Riley, and pretty much, you know, talk circles around Miz, tried to help Riley along, and all that was missing really was a coconut. But we didn't have any Samoans. And
bring an Uso over.
They're not doing anything. Yeah, why not?
Yeah,
I'd sign them for comic relief.
But it was good to see him, and he looked amazing. I was very, very, very surprised. And the whole joke about trying to put him in a match, I was just waiting for him to start yelling at Riley and then yanking down his kilt and pointing to his replacement hip scar, a la what he did at the Politically Incorrect when Bill Maher decided to insult a half a dozen wrestlers, including three good talkers in Piper, Heenan, and Booker. Granted, this was back with WCW stuff, but if you can find this,
I'm sure it's on YouTube.
Yeah, if you can dig it up on YouTube, just watch Piper tear Bill Maher to pieces. It was pretty. Let's see. Talked about that. Ah, yes. Kayfabe is dead, but we knew this. I'm going to appeal to Jim's Game Show Geek unless he wants to talk about it.
Okay, bring it. Oh, I know where you're going with this.
Oh, here we go.
Just the fact that a bunch of divas decided to show up on Price is Right. But they're in the middle of a feud, but they were awful nice to each other.
That's dumb.
Yes, it is, Bob. Yes, it is. Hall of Famer Drew Carey. That still pees my oatmeal. Invited Kelly and the Bella Twins to show up on The Price is Right, and they presented a special showcase, which started with an Xbox 360 and, of course, the WWE All-Stars game. Kelly presented that. Then one of the Bellas, I can't tell them apart, so who cares, mentioned that the next prize would be a all-access SummerSlam VIP package where they stayed at a hotel in Los Angeles and had ringside tickets for SummerSlam, or as I still prefer to call it, Summerfest. And finally, the other Bella is like, oh, now you've got the best. You say the best for last with me. You get to get in the ring with me. I don't think that's PG, but okay. No, no. She was joking, and of course, it's a new car.
She didn't even say it right.
Well, exactly, exactly. So that was the showcase. Everybody was buddy-buddy, and the Bellas were doing their little dance. I think, quite frankly, the Bella Twins were looking at this as an audition for their next job. I don't see him last until Karma comes back. Just a hunch. And ironically enough, somebody won not just that showcase, but the other showcase, because they bid close enough and got both showcases. So the tax man cometh for them.
Did Brian Kendrick win the trip to SummerSlam?
Sadly, no. It was a female contestant, which amused me even further, because all of the titillation was for nothing.
Yeah, she said tittle. No, but
that's what she said.
The best part, though, that I got a kick out of, talk about people selling merch. Drew was selling the fact that everybody in the crowd got a WWE spinner belt like it was the second coming of Jesus. It was hilarious. And they got a WrestleMania DVD.
That shit.
Well, we all are. And they also got a WWE WrestleMania DVD, everybody in the audience, which Drew quickly threw away because he's like, oh, look at this belt. So,
for the record, something I don't have, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
No, you're fine, Jim. I'm starting to see why you guys dog a lot on Drew Carey. I hated his delivery.
I liked the Price Right, but yeah.
I hated his delivery during the showcases. That's the only part of the show I watched. And the fact that when he looked at the price of the showcase leading up for this double showcase win, in the back of my head, I've got the Bob Barker version going. Where he would have teased this gal for 5 minutes.
The actual retail price of your showcase on the Price is Right. On CBS in our 39th season is, and then say it really slowly. Yeah.
No, we would be, and the actual retail price is. Now, are you really a wrestling fan? Just sit there and ask her three or four questions and just get her
exactly.
Just get her giggling.
Wouldn't this be exciting if you got this? Yes.
Yes.
You know, I was on Raw once.
I bet you wouldn't want to get in the ring with any of those girls, would you?
No, 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 no. Actual retail price. Ah, double showcase.
So, to the gal who won it,
congratulations. You're probably not even going because it'll be a tax write-off. So.
And damn it, she's probably going to be
And if she doesn't have a kid, you know she's not keeping the spinner belt either.
Hope she has. I wonder if she's got a boyfriend to somebody at least go with her to the show.
Oh dear God! My cousin's boyfriend actually bought a championship belt, not a WWF one or E1, off of eBay, like authentic. They were supposed to get like the dented version. They got the actual version. So I'm like, whoa! For like only $100, so. No spin in action there, no word life, no basic thugonomics. Wicca, wicca. Okay. But yeah, nice to see they had the prices right in WWE Connection open there. Hopefully it'll never happen again. And again, I'm convinced the Bellas are looking for a new job. Absolutely. So.
They couldn't send a group of divas that aren't feuding with each other?
Well, I don't think they would think Italia and Beth Phoenix are diva-esque for their stature. That might scare the children. That's what they think, I bet, sadly. So,
Somebody refresh my memory. Is Melina face or heel right now?
She's a heel. Although I prefer that. Well, I think she's a tweener in the eyes of Zack Ryder's dad, because he's got the cardboard cut out of her now. So now he is just like John Morrison.
Oh, Christ.
That's funny. How? On so many levels.
Instead of Kelly, you could have just sent Maurice, and then you'd have a group of three heel divas who are all friendly on TV anyway.
Yeah, but
I'm still keeping my theory about Zack Ryder, though.
Okay, go ahead.
The F.E.'d stage.
You think he's going to be future endeavored?
Well, look what happened this past week, though, bro. I mean, it's stupid not to put him on Raw.
The talk about that was Vince doesn't like the internet. That was part of it. And plus, the belief
that's
that...
That's a fucking cop-out if I ever heard one.
I know. I'm just saying what's been said. And the other part it would take away from the draws of the other stars, which you know it wouldn't, and I know it wouldn't, but...
Mm-hmm.
So, Vince probably is not quite sure what the internet is yet.
Right. That's Mike Cole.
He hasn't gotten around to that point in the 90s.
Yeah.
That's been right here with you and the internet.
I'd say in the next couple of years he'll get his first dial-up connection.
14.4, yeah.
Linda, come look at this. You hear the crackling, dialing sounds of AOL?
And it's a chick with a... Anyway, that he downloads by accident. Moving on.
Yes.
Boy.
Derp.
Let's see. Speaking of such stupidity, maybe I will have enough material soon enough to start throwing more crap into Room 101. Would anybody object if I sent TMZ in there for their little nonsense regarding Shawn Michaels' new TV show?
I would never object to TMZ being sent down the river.
Well, anytime you want to send Harvey Levin down into the dump, that's fine by me.
I wouldn't mind.
Okay. But for our listeners who might not understand what I'm talking about, Sean's got a show on Outdoor Channel where he's going to be doing quite a bit about hunting. And TMZ decided to get real sensational and stupid at the same time with it. Not only does he kill animals, he eats them. Yeah. And
you're punching.
Yeah, and so did our forefathers hundreds of years ago. And
exactly.
That's something my father does every hunting season. Yeah. So what?
Did Daniel Bryan write this story?
No, but the High Muck. I heard the High Muck Amugs are vegan too. So does that make him a nerd?
Well played, Dino.
But I think I'm just going to go ahead and speak. So, you guys are okay with this?
You
I
have
say
my
pull over.
Can you also flush? Now wait, is this going to be on Versus the show?
No, this is going to be on Outdoor Channel,
Outdoor
if I remember
Channel.
Correctly.
I have never heard of the Outdoor Channel, so that's the first time I... Go ahead, flush it. Go ahead.
All right. I press the button, and TMZ... Let's see. Where'd the button go? There it
push
is.
The button. Win
TMZ.
A cookie.
There you go.
There we go.
Where's my cookie?
Well,
we'll
work on it. I do have double stuffed Oreos here, so if you want some of them, go ahead.
Ah, I have another caller popping in here. Hang on a second.
Nice.
Hello, hello.
I'm sorry.
Well, we can do something about that. What shall I do to you? What shall I do to you? Nah, I'll be nice.
Yes. That sucks. Yes, it does. Yes.
Yeah.
So VRM, I know
you're... I'm sorry, but it's like my first full week of work wrapped up. So.
Hey, work is a good thing. It's all good.
And I also, I just fried something in my computer. I got that nice, lovely silicone smell, burning silicone smell.
Are you sure that's not brain cells? No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Is it if the magic blue smoke is coming out of your desktop, it's too late.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, everything's still running. I think I like might have fried a little chip on a video card or something.
All right. Well, now that you're here, who wants to tag out?
Let's see. If you want me to, I can, I suppose.
Okay, I was going to see, Carl, do you want to stick around, or?
Yeah, I'll make it easy for you. I'm going to tag out.
Okay.
All right, Carl.
Josh, if you're listening, you'll have Pick'ems for Capital Punishment on Facebook afterwards.
All right.
Awesome. And I'll be in the chat. Awesome. Here we go.
Thanks, Carl. Okay, VRM, another one of our longtime panelists has now joined us. You've missed most of our discussions about Raw, and we just wrapped up talking about The Price is Right. So let's see.
It doesn't really matter since I missed Raw, and I've missed basically almost all wrestling except for like the end tail end of TNA this week.
You might be able to help me out on that then, because TNA actually, I'm going to have a couple of reasons to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
With the news breaking about Destination X and the fact that they are going to bring back the six-sided ring for one night, I think has started piquing some interest as TNA's ratings did crawl up a tenth of a point.
Actually, depending on where you looked, it might have been 0.2 of a point. Still.
Depending on how you round things.
Right.
And the fact that we saw some familiar faces come back. What is this I hear of Austin Aries getting his job back?
Well, he won a contract and a spot at Destination X.
And he faced Kid Cash and Jimmy Rave for it.
Jimmy Rave even brought back his Rock and Rave Infection look, complete with the Guitar Hero guitar.
I'm sorry. I'm almost sorry I missed that.
And I'm very disappointed because Christy Hemme's the ring announcer, and she didn't do the entrance right.
Shame on her.
She just did the standard ring announcement when really it should have been the Rock and Rave Infection ring announcement.
Ooh.
If you had Christy out there and you had Jimmy Rave out there, you might as well bring Big Lance in too.
Somewhere I'm sure he was wondering why his phone didn't ring.
Well, apparently he's busy in Japan right now anyway, so.
That's good for him.
But if he's in town, I'll go knock on his door and tell him to get back to TNA.
Cool. Tell him
I'm sure he'd appreciate that.
I might actually do something that I have not done in over 6 months, and that's watch TNA next week. I only bring that up for just a minor spoiler that another one of these X Division matches is going to include a wrestler named Shima Zion. Shima is from about my area. I've had an opportunity to work, not directly with him, but I was in a locker room with him at AIW. He's got an amazing look. And if he keeps his head on straight, I think he can really go far. I hope they are looking to add him to the roster. And, of course, this will also make Super Oprah insanely jealous. But that's just me.
From what I understand about this Destination X situation with all these guys coming back, is that all of these guys who are coming back or debuting and winning matches are getting some kind of spot in a tournament for Destination X. in which the winner becomes, I guess, a permanent part of the roster. But that's what I've been led to believe.
Well, I've got my fingers crossed, definitely, for Shima, and I would love to see a few of these other guys actually get back on board. Because if this, you know, actually focusing on this division leading up to a pay-per-view, would this be the start of getting everything back in order, or after Destination X, do you think it's just going to be back to FSDD?
I think the pay-per-view ends with Hogan and Immortal coming out and just destroying the six-sided ring and saying, making sure you'll never see it again. And they just beat up all the X-Division guys.
Is it sad that I would actually pay some money to watch people carve up the six-sided ring with a chainsaw?
They do a poor rip-off of the Nexus invasion and just have Immortal destroy the ring.
Does Christy Hemme wear a suit and tie for the occasion so that she can get choked?
Yes.
Oh!
Or they could just use Borash anyway, you know. Same effect.
I'd rather it be Borash, although, you know, Penzer's not there anymore.
I think it'd be better if just Don West was randomly standing by and ended up getting choked.
And then we could, you know, we could hear, you know, this poor little kid in the crowd, Mr. Taz, Mr. Taz, Mr. Taz, are you okay?
I guess Don West could play the Matt Stryker role and just kind of be sitting around at ringside.
Get his lights punched out. I approve of this.
And I have a vision of Don West being choked with a tie. While the camera's in his face, him screaming, it came out of nowhere.
Don West being choked with a tie. That brings, trying to think of the word. That's a pleasant image.
Unfortunately, I guess that means Tanay would have to run away without being touched, but I'd rather see him get beat up as well.
Nah, that's my nostalgia. That's the nostalgia in me thinking, no, I don't want to see Tanay get killed. I lost somebody. Quick head count. Who's still here?
You.
Typo is here.
I lost Jim. Jim, come back.
No.
Oh, that sucks. He'll be back. So while we're
waiting,
maybe
he got tie choked.
And I just realized that I'm still playing well with tanks while I'm doing this, and that we're in a battle, and then I just completely cost our team a match.
That's not the kind of multitasking I want to see on the show. Now, let's see. I did have something else. I do have something else TNA related. There was a bit of a stir when Desmond Wolfe's picture was taken off the TNA website. Well, with good reason, they're letting him go. But it sounds like he's going to land on his feet. He's been doing some script writing. He's been doing some comedy work. And did I read all that correctly? Has anybody seen this?
I'm still awaiting definitive word on what exactly it is that is making him not be able to compete.
It's still the whispers still say Hep C, but they don't really want to talk about it. And I don't want to spread that rumor either, so I'm not going to stand by it. But at least he is going to have a job and not doing one.
And the bigger question this leaves now, this is the important one, who becomes the new commissioner of Explosion?
EY.
Because as my good friends over at TNA Creative on Twitter, follow them by the way, have said, that's a very vital role, commissioner of Explosion. the people need to know who's going to fill this spot.
Does NBC know this show is on the air?
So, well, let's see. Now Mick Foley already left. Jarrett's supposedly stuck in Mexico. Yvonne might be bored.
I got a phone call from California. Who the hell do I know in California?
Bob Van Dam.
If it is, tell Ben Meister I said, hey, and if his rate issue is still on, he better hurry up and let me know. Aha.
Maybe he's not in his right mind currently and is just dialing numbers.
Now, speaking of random dialing, Jim's back.
Yeah, my internet went off. I'll be right there. Just give me a second.
That takes time.
Did anybody else catch the Eric Young, Jason Hervey segment on Impact?
I sort of like skimmed through it. I saw it, but I was like, okay, what just happened there?
I've been waiting since the Bischoff Hogan people came in for Jason Hervey to be on screen. And it was glorious.
I figured he was just running out there delivering lunch. What happened?
Matt Morgan was... Eric Young found Matt Morgan backstage early in the night and said that Matt was next in line to have a TV title shot against him. But Matt said, no thanks, because he's concentrating on the Bound for Glory series that he's been entered in. So he tells Eric Young says that the TV title has to be defended against someone who's a TV star. And he said because Matt Morgan was on American Gladiators, that qualifies him. So Matt Morgan told him that there happened to be an executive producer in TNA that happened to be a TV star as well, and told Eric Young to go find him. So there, Jason Hervey's filming a segment with Austin Aries in the back, and Eric Young shows up and finds him and says that it's his time for a TV title match right there. And Young just nails him and covers him on the locker room floor and instructs Austin Aries to count the pin. And after the shot that Young gave him, he made sure to say that was for Fred Savage.
Ouch.
And screw Whitney Cooper.
My brain hurts.
And I think also Eric Young, when he was leaving the locker room, looked in the camera and said, Bayo, you're next.
The crowd went, huh?
So I'm expecting Eric Young versus Scott Bayo at Destination X for the TV title.
And they will pay Scott Bayo $15,000 to show up.
That'll be about 10 times more than every Knockout combined.
And Eric Young will be all... he'll be ready to go guns a-blazing.
See you in hell, dead man!
Wait, it won't be that epic. I don't think it'll be quite that epic.
No.
So, let's see. Oh, we're getting through things a little faster than I was expecting. Actually, that ought to keep us busy for a bit. Normally, I don't, you know, we don't talk a whole lot about the goings-on Twitter. But apparently, one of TNA's biggest names has been through a bit of a verbal war with an old foe, and then was finally assaulted with a barrage of videos, despite begging for mercy and demanding a truce. But oh no, the warrior cannot remain silent.
Oh, here we go.
Can't stifle the power of destrosity.
Yeah.
Or, in this case, the power of telling Hogan to grow the fuck up.
But it scares me that that a head case like Warrior is telling a head case like Hogan to grow up.
That boggles the mind a bit, yeah.
It just makes you look forward to Hogan versus Warrior at Bound for Glory.
Don't even joke.
Please, no.
Just say that.
Please, dear Lord, no.
13 years after their epic encounter at Halloween Havoc, they're going to do it again. Hopefully
and this
time
it will be a five-minute squash match.
Hopefully this time with less Horace Hogan running.
That was not tremendous, Joey Styles.
Not tremendous at all.
Now, I am not going to poison my brain with watching these videos. However, I have loaded up a page from WrestleChat.net. Shameless plug.
Brecklin Daniel poisoned his brain so he could give us the details on that page.
And he admits it right up front. An hour of his life that he cannot get back was spent watching these videos.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you guys will give me a minute or two, I'd like to run down the bullet points so that we don't have to listen to these videos.
I've got them up right now if you want me to handle them.
I've got it here in front of me. It's, but you do have a better voice for radio than I do, sir. So if you would like to do so, please.
Okay, just trying to make it easier on the hostess with the mostess here. That's all. These are all claims.
Glad it'll get you everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. These are all claims from the video by the Warrior. Claims about Hogan and some of the things, and we'll take each one down as we go here, I guess. First, he says Hogan is a known marijuana and cocaine addict. Any thoughts there?
He hides it well. I would believe that he was pretty strong on the blow in the 80s with some of the crazy promos that he was cutting. Marijuana wouldn't surprise me either if he's as banged up and beat up as any other 60-year-old wrestler would be.
Mm-hmm.
Since, you know, too many wrestlers have suggested that this is a pain control tactic.
Right.
But do they have medical marijuana licensing in Florida? I don't think they do.
I don't believe so. Only California comes to mind with that kind of stuff, and that's, well, actually, no, I should take that back. They didn't get medical marijuana there. I take that back.
Well, Ben, Jim, we're about to get medical marijuana once Christie's happy with the fact that the feds won't prosecute anyone.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Governor Christie. God bless her.
Well, we do know that
anyway.
Hogan's become good buddies with RVD over the last couple of years.
The jokes really just set themselves up, don't they, folks? Yeah. Next little bullet point. Hogan and Linda were known, quote-unquote, whores, and had an open marriage that enabled both of them to sleep with other people anytime they wanted. This to be proven later by something else, and we'll get to that in a moment. The one that really just means nothing to me, Hogan has hair extensions. What? Why? And he got to the wrong place. If that's the case. He got to the wrong place. Yes, it would, Edge. Thank you. Thank you. Every product that Hogan has ever attached himself to has been a complete failure. There's truth to that, isn't there? Remember the Hulk Hogan grill? You know.
About the only thing I can think of that he's been attached to that hasn't been a failure is probably 80s WWE. That's about
Boss-a-mania.
It.
Well, Well, I mean, the Hulk Hogan grills, where I'm friends with somebody in the infomercial business, drop the name Steve Bryan, pick it back up. It was supposed to be, you know, it was at the time of the George Foreman grill, and it had to be recalled because the wiring would cause the thing to flame up and literally go on fire. So, Hulk Hogan making friends everywhere he goes. And who among us didn't have the vitamins back in the day and were disappointed that we couldn't become big like the Hulkster? Another bullet point, next one. Hogan lies and breaks the law often because he has the money and connections to get out of any issue that may come about. On paper, that seems like it makes sense. I mean, look at his offspring, for God's sakes. Same
that,
principle.
That comes up as we go down the list.
Indeed. Or you're saying, again, regardless of what Hogan says, and these couple of things are, you know, kind of touchy, obviously. Regardless of what Hogan says, Hogan and Savage never, quote-unquote, reconnected. Furthermore, he says that everything Hogan said during the sit-down interview right after Savage's death was, quote-unquote, bullshit. He went so far as to say that Savage and Hogan actually did meet at one point at a hospital a year ago. Savage invited him over to a barbecue to talk about things. Hogan then left on his Hulk and Friends live Q&A tour prior to said barbecue and proceeded to trash Randy Savage on the tour and even made jokes about Savage inviting him to that barbecue. So that's interesting.
That's an odd one.
Hogan and the way he comes about over the years about individual persons is helter-skelter. You can never really tell. Staying with the Savage thing, he says that Hogan openly made fun of the marriage between Savage and Elizabeth because they were so in love and loyal to one another. Hey, maybe that's called, maybe that's jealousy more than anything else, if what the above is true. Now it gets juicy. He says Hogan slept with one of his daughter Brooke's friends and openly joked about it.
I've heard this elsewhere.
Okay. I just can't help but think of the, you know, what kind of pickup line did he, well, you know, brother, I mean, sister, you know, I've got the 26-inch pythons, brother. You know, I've got the hair extensions, brother. I got a whole lot of marijuana, brother. I'll make you say your prayers, take your vitamins, brother. What you gonna do when the Hulkster gets wrapped around you?
I'll let you try the brand new Hulk Hogan energy drink from Socko.
Well, I hear it last.
I'm just gonna pretend you said 18, brother.
There's a small admission fee first.
Oh, and that's just code for Hogan's. Anyway, no, that's he says, the Warrior, continuing on, talking about the kids now, Brooke Hogan had, quote, incredible talent, end quote, that Hulk ruined her career for her. He says that Hulk attempted to overuse his friends' network connections to get her a career, and in turn, it ruined her career because she never had to pay her dues or see what it was like to struggle on her way to being a star. Now, that makes perfect sense. Anybody remember Hogan Knows Best? It was supposed to be available for Brooke, but let's not kid ourselves. Come on. Who was the star of the show? Yeah.
Her singing just didn't really do it, and that's why Jillian Hall had a career for a little while. So, mm-hmm. I just throw this in real quick.
I don't know! Have I sucked?
Sidey coming in the clutch, as always. Yes, yes.
Even though I know exactly what they're talking about, I like to imagine Hogan calling up Brian Knobs, trying to get Brooke a job somewhere. Because whenever I think of Hogan's connections, I just think of him calling Brian Knobs.
Pretty much. Nasty, where are you? Oh, God. Some thoughts on Nick. The Warrior saying Nick is, quote, totally lost, unquote, and has gone a long way in his life, also going so far as to say that Hulk never thought Nick was his true son. Might explain some behaviors there. Says that Nick Hogan does not care about the accident he was in recently, and the people he caused long-term harm, specifically John Graziano, too, because Nick has the same black heart that Hogan has. Also said that he criticizes Nick and Hulk heavily for saying that said car accident victim deserved what injuries he sustained because he had bad karma. Any thoughts on that? There's more in the note.
Now, if you remember, shortly after this all went down, there were a couple of there were some recordings made when Nick was still in jail and Hogan went in and talked to him, and they were, you know, they were acting like they were the victims, and really had no sympathy to Graziano. They didn't, they weren't caring about that. They were like, oh my God, you know, look what this horrible thing has happened to us. Graziano is stuck in a chair and requires 24 hours, 7 days a week, supervision and care. You walked away. Both of you walked away. The fact that you were street racing to begin with, you both should have been in jail. But going back to that earlier point, the fact that Hogan's got all the hookups, that, you know, Nick barely spent any time in jail and Hogan spent no time in jail.
Yeah, celebrity will get you far. That's what it comes down to. It's like the whole Lindsay Lohan thing. It's all the TMZ stuff, which has been thrown in Room 101. I won't mention it again. I'm sorry. But just referencing it. I mean, if you've got money, if you've got clout, and if you're Hulk Hogan, you can get away with it. If you're Nick, you're going into prison for a little time. Still, just interesting. Final couple of points here. He denies, does the Warrior, Hogan's remarks that the Warrior failed with his opportunity to kill Hulkamania with a bullet. He also denies that he wanted to squash Hogan in just 5 minutes at WrestleMania 6. I had never heard that. I mean, it was a little bit before when I really got into wrestling, but was there something more to that match than I'm missing here? I'm not sure. He denies ever reaching out to Hogan to help him battle Vince McMahon in his lawsuit over the self-destruction of Ultimate Warrior DVD put out. Going on, I'll just read the last couple quickly here. He says that Hogan was lying about his thoughts of suicide in the book that Hogan referenced, in Hogan's book, I should say. In the book, it said that Hogan had stated that he sat on his bed with a gun in his mouth and contemplated pulling the trigger. Warrior believes it was only because Hogan wanted sympathy. So it comes off like he's an attention whore, according to Warrior, for lack of better terms.
Well, Warrior's kind of onto something, ain't he?
Yeah. Isn't he actually kind of right there about him being an attention whore?
This is one of the few times I think the Warrior is actually correct. I mean, I want, you know, that what a way to evoke sympathy. I don't know if Hogan actually did that or not. You know, like I said, I've got two crackpots trying to tell a story. And when you've got you've got two crackpots trying to tell a story, you can't even say that there's any truth in the middle. All you're expecting is once they're done shouting at each other, you hear this little voice in the background saying, "And you said oatmeal? Are you crazy?"
I mean, the law of averages says there's truth to some of what Warrior's saying, and there's no truth. No, there's some truth, I'm sure, to Hogan in some weird respect. We'll find out. The final two things on here, I'll elaborate further. Warrior criticizes Hogan once again for his recent comments in which he bashes Edge for retiring early due to injuries. And finally, he says Hogan has many, many more enemies than friends in the wrestling business, and says that even though many people dislike Hogan, no one ever had the courage to stand up to him because they knew Hogan would cost them their jobs. That, I believe, to some extent. Ultimately, here's the summation of this all to me. I mentioned it last week on the show with Jason. I'll mention it again this week. This is to wrestling, Ultimate Warrior's comments on Hogan to wrestling, as Jose Canseco's were on Mark McGwire and the steroid era in baseball. he's not the most credible source in the whole wide world. Wouldn't go to him, wouldn't want to have a cup of coffee with him. That said, if you look between the lines, you're going to find truths in here. You're going to find some things that are spot on. So at first blush, we like brush him off like some of this, okay, like the stuff over the hair extensions. Who gives a frig? But ultimately, there are some truths in here. You just got to pick and choose through them.
Now, is this, since I haven't been following this very closely, does Warrior have more that he's going to do? I'm sure, speaking of attention whores, I think we've got him on both ends of the rope here.
I got to believe he's going to keep going with this if it gets viral, which I'm sure it has and will. By the way, I didn't mention that there was a bonus 2-minute part of the video in which he compares the mind of Hulk Hogan to a melted piece of cheese. That's probably going to be fodder for a new open down the road. And I'll say this also, Warrior has not aged well at all. Looking old. So.
Mm-hmm.
But we thank Brett at WrestleChat.net for sitting through it so we don't have to.
Exactly. So we owe you one. Not sure how I'll get that one to you, but we'll figure it out.
Wasn't one of Hogan's responses that the Warrior was a male escort before he got into wrestling?
That seems like vintage Hogan to me. I wouldn't put it past him.
Yeah.
So.
I don't think it really matters. But those two are going to be at it for a little while. So we'll keep a close eye on that and just see how much damage they end up doing to each other's reputations.
If not to each other's
reputations. Swinging those walkers and canes back and forth.
Bottle of Geritol on a pole match. It's finally come to life.
That's the stipulation for Bound for Glory.
No!
Steve Austin with his Eric Bischoff wig.
And Bongo.
That does it. I'm getting somebody else in here. Where's the boy? Get in here and save me.
Huh? What? That boy's alive? Where?
That boy!
That boy is alive and kicking somewhere in Toledo. How you doing, kiddo?
Kind of happy I'm back on the show. But, yeah. Otherwise, crappy. Finals next week for me. Yeah.
I am sorry to hear that. All right, who's tagging out?
I am, because I have to go to. I have to get up early for a 2-hour ride after the paintball place.
Okie dokie.
Don't forget to give me your results.
Yes.
If I decide to play, which I don't really haven't played in like how long now.
That's all right. We ended up skipping a month, too, so.
Yeah.
Okay,
I'm fine.
All right. VRM has tapped out. Staffboy, did you want to chime in a little bit on this Hogan Warrior nonsense?
Not really. Because it's been pretty much ran over by you guys pretty well.
Brother.
Yeah. However, I do have something else that's a bit Twitter-ish. But, yeah. Yeah. Sorry, guys. I'm a little caught up right now.
Okay.
But, yeah. There was something else that you guys didn't exactly get around to last week when it came to Twitter. As specifically, a very specific fellow by the name of Goldust.
Ah, yes.
Yeah. Apparently, Goldust has taken it upon himself, or at least before about the 4th of this month, that, you know, he wound up banning people left and right for silly, inane things. Even positive tweets to him got a banning. Halloween decorating as Goldust for Halloween got a banning. Everything else, banning. Ultimately, if I'm not mistaken, Goldust wound up with a magical total of somewhere around 17,561 blocks on his system, which is apparently the most in Twitter by any celebrity. And as a direct result of it, they have more or less revoked his privileges, or I believe WWE has provoked his privileges to use Twitter ever again. Because he was becoming a bitter old man really, really quick.
And mentioning Clint Daniel, Brad at WrestleChat was among those who was banned, so...
Yeah, in fact, he was the one who... Yep, he was the one who gave us the exact number. Because I seen on various websites, the number was roughly 18,000, but Brett gave us the exact number before that.
Well, it came up for discussion that a couple people want to just throw gold dust in the room, and I'm going to put my foot down about that. Goldust was a major contributor in the Attitude Era and even had a minor career revival between his tag team with Booker T in 02 and 03. And a minor revival of being a mentor to Oksana in NXT Season 3.
Mm-hmm. However, he's been barely seen on television for the last, what, 2-3 years?
Granted, it's been over a year since he's been on TV. But
he's injured right now.
Yeah, and between the injury and the book tour, I'd be a little grumpy too. I'll be happy to throw his Twitter account into the room.
Yeah, Twitter account, no doubt in my mind, gets thrown into the room, no questions asked.
No answers needed either.
So I will.
And apparently, don't ever mention Black Rain to him.
Chocolate Rain.
He wasn't a fan of Black Rain, apparently.
I wasn't either. So let's just take that Twitter account and get it.
Twitter.com/WWE Goldust. I hope you like it toasty.
Get to hang out with Harvey Levin, the poor bastard.
When you mention Black Rain, though, you got to mention Relic, which is Killer spelled backwards, by the way.
I thought was Jobber spelled backwards.
Oh, boo! Boo! Wait a minute, is this the Superstars GM?
Carl?
No. This is the Raw GM.
Thought the computer got run over.
Yes, rest in peace, computer number two.
Granted, but he's probably got an infinite supply of these, and this is the one that's going to be brought out on Monday. Enough nonsense, and I quote, enough nonsense about Goldust, he's been irrelevant to WWE television for over a year. I think we all need to step back and take a breath, and then we can actually start talking about a pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
So, guys, if you'd like to take a couple of minutes and just chill. We're gonna have to. We gotta stop and show the merchandise, as it were.
Yeah, as I figured.
I'm all about the merch.
So, as it is, we are the North American Wrestling Connection, sponsored by Wrestle Chat on CLW83. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Hello. How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW, ROH, and ECW announcer Eric Gargiulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at.
Social issues.
Foreign affairs.
Hard news.
The rising cost of living.
Political perspectives.
Unemployment numbers rising.
You ain't gonna find any of that here.
I'm Jim Williams.
And I'm Chris Palmer, and together we are the Jersey Connection.
Give us a listen every week on the CLW 83 Network. Check CLW83.com for program listings.
And cut.
Because we don't know what f***ing time we're going to be on.
This week on the Webmaster's Corner, Yum Brands is pushing for food stamp acceptance. The food pyramid is out. The food plate is in. Students get to take an awesome post-field trip lunch to Hooters. A woman with the oldest bank account. Microsoft unveils Windows 8. Breakfast cereals declining in popularity. A frivolous lawsuit, and this week's highlight. We take a deeper look into the 50,000 person hiring spree by McDonald's. Is it really genuine, or just a scheme, so that McDonald's can make extra money at the expense of their employees who've been the backbone of their company? Stay tuned for all this and more on this week's Webmaster's Corner, right here on the CLW 83 Network.
Hello, I'm Chris Palmer of the BS Big Show. You're listening to the CLW 83 Network.
To put it in obnoxious TV sports analyst terms,
it came out flatter than a fucking crate.
And we are back. Now that we've sold some merchandise, I heard that we have the latest chapter in the TNA Money Woes.
Oh, dear.
Jesse Neal decided to brag about the fact that they were able to get food stamps despite working for the number two wrestling company in the country. Jeff, will you fill us in?
Yeah, apparently... As you said, this is more Twitter talk, so yeah. Twitter tracker, sweet tweets. But yes, Jesse Neal put it out there on Twitter that he is getting food stamps also. And then some random fan tweeted him back saying, that's just a disappointment, more or less, that you're working for the number two company and yet you're... having to resort to food stamps. Then Neil's girlfriend, also another indie wrestler, and Christina Von Erie tweeted him, the random person back, pretty much bitching him out because, well, the random person didn't know that this was actually a real thing. It was more like a, really? So, yeah. Ultimately, Jesse Neal is going on food stamps, and he's also being taken care of by the VAs. Then again, knowing how TNA's money woes are, I'm not terribly surprised.
Well, having seen both of them many times, they wouldn't be on food stamps if they didn't combine however much they've dropped on ink over their lifetime.
I don't know if that would be much of an issue. It's more like, hey, how much is TNA giving you? Wait.
And we chronicled on this show in the past the situation with the Knockouts and how little they were getting paid. They were getting paid, you know, 50, 75, 100 bucks in some cases each match.
A Ziploc bag
of change. Yeah, well, exactly. You know, enough. Here's some change. You can get your tights laundered afterwards. Congratulations. Good match. But, you know, seeing a guy who, you know, really was a big part, one of their biggest shows of the year, you know, doing the national anthem justice, the first taping after the announced death of Osama bin Laden, a person who, you know, is on the roster somewhat prominently. It's disturbing and it's sad. It's a sad, sad state of affairs, and it just shows you how fast-ackwards, if I may be a little pig Latin-esque here, the company is in terms of where the money's going, if the money's going anywhere, if there's even money coming in.
Mm-hmm.
It frustrates me, especially after, you know, after the thing in the papers a couple of weeks ago about the guy that won the lottery but was staying on government funding.
Yep.
The fact, though, that Neil is actually not making enough money to get by and still qualifies for food stamps is very frustrating. It just, you know, if I was, you know, if I worked for a number two company in any business, I would expect that I would at least be reasonably well off unless I had just walked in the door on my first day.
Mm-hmm. Like, instead of working for Intel, you're working for Acer. You still expect to get good money.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
I just, you know, it baffled me. But then again, I also know that there are some, the bulk of any money that is being paid out is going to the old guard that were brought in to supposedly improve ratings, and I'm not seeing a return on investment.
No,
oh, definitely
is
not.
No,
I mean,
return on investment.
It's been a negative. It's been a negative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In fact, the worst return on investment has to go to the highest paid female on the entire roster, that being one Christy Hemme, who makes now $150,000 a year.
I had a sudden thought about that. With the Daphne injury lawsuit looming,
mm-hmm.
I wonder, since Christy was injured working in TNA, if that big fat contract was a big fat hush money.
Yeah, undoubtedly hush money.
Almost has to be. Almost has to be.
Yeah, because I remember when she first became the backstage reporter, she came into that role at $125,000 a year, and that was more or less hush money. Because before that, when she was wrestling, she wasn't earning nearly as much. She was still earning a fair amount of money, I think somewhere between $500 and $1,000 a match, but nowhere near the $125,000 a year, now $150,000 a year, just to run her yap for a few moments and do a horrible job while doing it.
So,
I mean,
this
is turning in. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, please, go ahead.
I was going to say, this is turning into one of those things where if you're taking like a business course in college, you may want to look at TNA financially from the ground up and learn just what to do and what not to do. That's what this is coming off as, one of those classic textbook case studies.
Yeah.
I feel like this is going to be one of those scenes we see on the eventual Rise and Fall of TNA DVD.
Oh, yeah.
I can just see someone sitting there, like Jericho or the Brooklyn Brawlers, like, hey, I mean, one of the guys, he was on food stamps.
Yeah.
Jill Briscoe, those losers had to be on food stamps because Mr. McMahon knocked their socks off.
Oh, God. Wow.
Get the Briscoe Brothers shirt on, no less.
And he's single, fellas.
Brett, why do you got to bring Pat Patterson into this? Oh, boy.
Oh, I am going to firmly remove my palm from my face so that I may continue this show.
Yes.
You doofuses. All of you doofuses.
Yes, and?
Yeah, I know. 3, 4, 5. We're going to probably need the rest of the show to do the pick-ems. This is probably the most... Go ahead.
Yeah, this is definitely going to be the rest of the show, maybe.
Well, this is a pretty stacked card. This is the most matches I've seen on a card since Mania. We've got 8 matches to play with.
Wait, 8?
I've got 8 listed here.
Whoa, I only had 7 at last check. Did they add an eighth recently?
No, I might have my notes may be incorrect. Let's see. Cena Truth, Orton
yes.
Christian.
Yes.
Okay, there's my error. Zeke and Barrett, ADR and Big Show, Miz and Riley, Punk and Mysterio, Ziggler and Kofi.
Yep.
Okay. No, I had something screwy with the World Heavyweight title match, so that's my fault.
It happens.
So, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 one-on-one matches.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So this will be very easy, despite the fact that I know, Statboy, you put together this wonderful spreadsheet.
Yes, I did.
It's going to be 7 matches and 7 points.
All right.
All right.
And just a note, coming into this pay-per-view, the Extreme Rules pick-ems, the winners were myself and Carl, so we come in as co-Fizzleweight champions.
And for the rest of the guys that, if any of the rest of our staff is listening, Facebook Statboy and send in your picks.
Or do it in the chat room, because I think we'll have enough time to do that as well.
Yes. Now, you probably have these, you've got these in a particular order, Statboy, so I can do them any way you want.
Yeah. I'll go from right to left. The match that I feel has the least significance on the card, that being Wade Barrett versus Ezekiel Jackson.
This is an intercontinental title match that stems and has been building from the explosive breakup of the core. Barrett is now on his own. He does not have the backup of Slater and Gabriel, who are now going to be floundering in what might be the slow restructuring of a tag team division. Mock me if you must. Anyway,
mock.
Tag teams.
All right, you're a manager with tag teams, huh?
It hurts my feelings. Anyway.
Yeah.
So. All right, laughing boy, who wins?
Well, finally, after all the core leaves, and I'm pretty sure the core is now completely and utterly killed, Big Zeke finally gets the brass ring in the Icy Wiener title.
I can see that, Keiko.
I think Wade Barrett keeps it.
All right, Jim?
I'm going to go with my right honorable staff boy colleague. I think Zeke takes the title. He, like Zack Ryder, finds the brass ring and it's over top of his refrigerator. So Ezekiel is the new champ.
see. I'm going to go ahead and say Zeke, because I think they're ready to start putting the machine behind Barrett and get him up into the main event.
Okay. And, Brian, if you want to play along, please do so. Okay. I'll go on then to the next match of importance. The other mid-card title match, Kofi Kingston versus Dolph Ziggler.
And we've seen this song and dance before. So I'm not going to put as much stock in it either. Typo, who do you got?
This is great. They've just gone parallel over the last year. Different show, different title, same thing. But I guess I'm going to say Dolph Ziggler wins the title.
All right. Stackler?
I also must agree with Typho in this instance. I think it may be time to, you know, maybe pull the trigger, maybe not. We're not terribly certain. But I do feel that Ziggler does deserve a belt for once. Or at least to hold it longer than 7-8 minutes. That's right. Motherfuckers. Ugh. But yeah. Ziggler to win.
Tell us how you really feel.
Yeah, really.
Oh, you want me to tell you how I really feel? Simple.
We got 29
give
minutes.
The belt to someone else on SmackDown that isn't named Blandy Borton. He bores me to death. Keep him in the chase. Keep him in the chase. Don't let him get the brass ring ever. Oh.
Easy, fat boy, easy. Although, you said Randy
baby
Orton.
Baby oil!
No!
No!
I'm surprised you didn't do that during the open of the show. I just, okay. Anyway.
Nope, but I brought it in. Somebody might be joining us. I'll press the button. Give me a second here. Line 4, hello.
Hit him with the folding chair!
Ryan!
The only reason why I'm here is Carl said it was okay if I came on in for a few minutes. How's everyone doing tonight?
Not too bad, Mr. Hanegar.
Hello, Mr. Hanegar.
We're hanging in there and making some progress.
Okay, thank you all for letting me come in just for a few minutes. And I want to say real quick, congratulations on this wonderful show for 4 wonderful years, and here's to 104 more.
Years? Holy crap.
2 years.
Brian's an optimistic fellow.
Yes. I'm what?
No, you're an optimistic fellow. That's all I'm saying.
I didn't hear what you said at first. I'm sorry. You broke up a little bit.
That's okay.
I heard 104. That's 2 years.
Oh. Never mind then.
Okay. Now that we've got Matt Salinas out of the way, Josh, what do you got? Who you got next?
Actually, did we not get through all the way through Kofi Kingston versus Dolph? Because I don't think you, Jim, or Brian have picked this.
I'm going to say
Kofi keeps the belt. I just have a funny feeling they don't want to put the strap on Dolph just yet. They're giving him a push, but I say give it another month or so. I'm going to go Kofi retains.
Brian, what do you got?
Kofi. So they can keep the feud going a little bit longer. I think they're going to keep it going until SummerSlam. So
yeah,
I'll think Kofi. And in the first match, I pick Ezekiel Jackson.
Yep, I already got that.
Cool.
All right. I'm also going to say that Kofi retains. You know, granted, we've seen this all before, but we're going through a new iteration, and we're just getting started.
if they go to SummerSlam again, I guess this year they can't be attacked by Nexus mid-match.
So they'll actually get to finish it this time around.
Yes.
Okay, Zap Boy, what's next?
All right, the next matchup that I feel important is CM Punk versus Rey Mysterio. No title on the line, just another rehash of a feud.
And just a fun, but it's still a fun little grudge.
Yeah.
That's what we got.
This is a pretty easy one to me, Rey Mysterio. I mean, Punk just beat him on Raw. Punk just pinned Cena on Raw. There's no way Punk doesn't win matches, so it's got to be Mysterio.
Jim, do you agree?
I think I'm going to have to, just the way things are going, both what we know on TV and what we might know away from television. I think they're going with Mysterio just by default here.
That boy?
Punk's won, once, twice in the last 2 years on pay-per-view? Or give or take?
If that.
It's been a while.
Yeah. That being said, with everything that happened on Monday, you know Mysterio's going to win in pretty big fashion.
The ultimate underdog.
Brian?
He can't be an underdog if he always wins.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, I'm going to go with Mysterio. Though, I was wondering something. I wish they would make this like a mask versus hair match.
Did that already.
They can have a mask versus mask match. Just wait until Cody comes out.
Probably end with Punk getting his face broken again.
Don't get me started on the Cody Rhodes match. Please don't.
And as I was at Over the Limit for the mask versus hair match. But, yeah, I'm with you guys. That's one great big ugly broom on your spreadsheet there, Statboy.
Yeah. For everyone that's picked so far, anyway.
Yeah. Who I miss?
All right. To the next match.
Okay.
The next two matches almost could have been swapped here in terms of importance because they're both pretty important in my eyes. And the first one of those I have up is The Big Show versus Alberto Del Rio.
This started with a offhand comment that was not translated when Del Rio decided to pick on The Big Show and Kane after they had lost their tag belts.
Yep.
This resulted in the abuse of a Ferrari running over The Big Show. Ha, ha, ha. Some overdramatic acting, and now a very, very angry giant. Unfortunately, with Ricardo Rodriguez out of the picture, Del Rio has no backup, but is that really going to be a handicap, Typho?
I'm going to say it will make no difference because after seeing what happened on Raw and after seeing what happened on SmackDown, I firmly believe that Alberto Del Rio is going to win by disqualification because The Big Show is just going to go insane.
That actually sounds like fun, especially with that one-man Nexus riot he pulled on SmackDown this week. Catboy, what do you got?
Typho? You stole my thunder. You bastard.
That's my job.
Del Rio will win by disqualification after Big Show doesn't let up.
Jim, what do you say?
Is there any room for a third on that bus? Because that makes a lot of sense to me. Can I hop aboard? Honest to goodness, it does. I mean, this has the makings of Big Show going off the deep end, that is, and as such, Del Rio will get the W and will get the last wink. Wink.
Brian.
Kennedy?
put me down for a seat on the bus there. I give that my full thing. Though there's two things about the big show that I want to note. Number one, did anybody else notice just how fast he was running on Raw?
Yeah.
I didn't know he had it in him.
Doesn't happen often. That's only the second time I've seen it, and it's scary when he's got a full head of steam.
Yeah. And number two, I remember when he got run over, he couldn't stand up, so his leg was hurting. So why did he have a cast on his hand?
If you actually seen the promo, you would have seen his left hand go up into the wheel well, the left front wheel well of the Ferrari. That probably damaged the hand a bit, and the leg wasn't nearly as badly hurt as first thought.
Okay, I overthink these things sometimes. I apologize for that.
No, so do I.
Hmm. I do see Del Rio actually winning this. I'm just wondering if I want to jump on board with you guys for the DQ or actually see him pull out a win. And again, an insane Big Show and the cross arm breaker means that Big Show stands up with Alberto dangling off of his arm.
Which would look awesome.
Yes, it would.
Yes.
That is a pretty sight. For that, I'd almost want to say Big Show's going to win, but he's got all the momentum right now. I'm going to call Del Rio, but I'm going to call Del Rio clean.
Wow. All right. That is everyone picking Del Rio by hook or by, well, disqualification. So, to the next match. Oh, go ahead.
1 second. Line 5, hello.
I guess I can tell I'm a little late for the predictions.
Sports.
Yeah, you are.
Sports are fifth tonight. All right.
Hi-o.
Well, okay. Let's bring them up to speed, shall we? Let's do rapid fire here.
Right on. Give me 1 second. I'm pulling the cells down for the Excel spreadsheet. All righty. And here we go. All right. Here is the card so far that we have already picked. Give us your response to the following. All right. From lowest to highest importance to me, Wade Barrett versus Ezekiel Jackson. Who do you pick to win?
Barrett will use some underhanded tactics to get himself the Duke.
All right. Kofi Kingston versus Dolph Ziggler for the United States Championship.
I'm thinking Kofi's going to win this early one.
All right. CM Punk versus Rey Mysterio.
I'm going to go with Mysterio.
As we all. And the last match before you're back up to speed, The Big Show versus Alberto Del Rio.
Del Rio by disqualification.
So say with the most of us anyway. All right, now we're back on a target. Let's hit that next match. The Miz versus Alex Riley.
Miz has called it quits with his slightly incompetent sidekick, who is now trying to strike out on his own with his bizarre intro, which is a cross between Chris Benoit's and Jeff Jarrett's TNA theme. But the face turn seems to be working, which kind of surprises me anyway. But is Riley ready to take the awesome out of Miz, Typho?
Well, I've seen this play before. Guy turns face, crowd starts cheering for him, starting to build up momentum, Miz wins.
That boy?
Not this again, Typho. Jeez, I'm crow, man. I must agree, though. Miz is going to win, mainly because, yes, they're building on Brawley, building on Brawley, building on Brawley, and left cross.
Cut the
no
leg off.
No way. No Jim? Way is Ryan winning.
And actually, it's they build it up, they build it up, they build it up, then Falcon punch. Get it right.
Yes!
Let's play that again!
Yes!
Thank you.
Sorry.
Blocked by
Ewing! That was Albert Jones from 96.
Yes!
All right, I'm going to go with the Miz, but I'm going to take a more positive spin on this. I'm hoping this becomes a rivalry. I'm hoping that Miz keeps the Miz occupied for a couple of months while, because, I think this could be good. This is something I've been wanting to see for a while. And maybe the payoff for Riley comes in SummerSlam. Just a thought, just a friendly thought. So Miz for now, but A-Rival will get his turn in just time.
Right.
I think the same thing. The Miz is going to go over Riley, but Riley's going to put up a really good fight, and as a result, it'll hopefully, if the Miz is cooperative, it'll help solidify Riley as a legitimate roster member. So I'm going to go with the Miz, though we ain't heard the last from Riley by a long shot.
Fourth, are you agreeing?
I do agree. Miz will win. But I do think it will indeed be the kind of match like Angle versus Morgan at Bound for Glory 2009 where Riley will not look bad coming out of it. He may not get the win, but he'll put up, like he said, one hell of a fight.
And I agree with you guys. This is the first major square off between these two guys. So Miz goes ahead and we'll get the beat to begin with, but Riley, being the student, is not going to look bad for it.
So, brooms? Yes, brooms. All right.
Broomage.
Now, to the first of the two World Championship matches, you've got the World Heavyweight Championship match. Randy Orton versus Christian.
Now, Fat Boy and I are probably the most outraged at the fact that Randy Orton has a title right now after Christian's storybook win. And the fact that Christian has it turned heel to continue in this feud. However, karma has a wonderful way of writing itself in. And the fact that Orton has a legit concussion, there's a chance that this match might not even happen. So, Tycho, should this match happen? What happened?
I just honestly think they have absolutely no desire to put the title on Christian. And even if they did, now that Christian's heel, who's he going to defend against other than Orton? Sin Cara? Well, I think Orton wins.
Definitely.
And therein lies the conundrum, the biggest problem over on SmackDown. You've got Randy Orton as your main face. After that, right now, your next big face is Sin Cara, Daniel Bryan, and Kane, although technically Kane can fill in any role at any time, because god damn it, he's Kane.
He might be heel next week.
Yeah, he was faced this week facing off against Tyson Kidd with JTG on Superstars. But my point still stands. We don't have anybody that Christian can properly face over on SmackDown for the World Heavyweight Championship. That being said, yes, Orton will win if he is cleared. If he's not cleared, then this match will be completely stricken from the record.
Jim, what do you got?
I'm trying to think of a way to go long shot and pick Christian. I really am, and I can't.
They can play the concussion angle. Christian gets the belt, only to have a rematch on SmackDown, and it would be running the circle all over again. I don't think they're going to do that to him. My pick's Orton. I hate picking Orton. Blandy Borden retains with his bland beard. Bland beard.
It's
the Elasque beard. I said it. Sorry.
Okay, you want my opinion?
Yes.
If the match happens, it's going to be Randy Orton. He'll go over. Here's what I would think. If Orton's not cleared, I would have him face... who is it? Gosh,
Kane.
My brain. No, not Kane. My brain isn't working Kane. Right now. Yeah, Sheamus. Yeah, Sheamus. Turn Sheamus, give him an insta-face thing, and make him his opponent.
He won't be insta-face. No way, no how. It would be more or less a heel versus heel for, once again, number one contendership, because Teddy Long's fucking inept.
And he'd also have to no-sell the Orton punt, because he got punted at the end of SmackDown tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he's also, and apparently Teddy Long is too busy developing a gambling problem.
Hey, Triple H no sold the concussion in 08. Cena did in 09.
Yeah, but this is Sheamus.
All right.
Who wins?
I'm pretty sure I picked up Orton for him.
Yes, yeah. Orton.
All right,
okay.
To fourth.
Fourth?
I get the horrible feeling that they're going to try to turn it into Orton gets injured, takes some time off, and gets his revenge at SummerSlam. Despite my better judgment, I'm going with Christian on this one.
The concussion has got me in a scenario. If Orton is cleared, this is tough because it's his injury. Christian is in there on the last chance rule with Sheamus as a wild card, punt or no punt. If Orton is cleared, he will retain. If he's not cleared, they're going to do something screwy like they had with tonight's SmackDown. It hasn't been long enough, and Teddy Long's not going to strip the belt off of Randy, unfortunately. So I'm going to presume that he gets cleared and Orton retains.
All right. And now to the main event of the evening. And the match that I'm a little bit, wondering, is it going to happen? John Cena faces off against Ron the Truth Killings.
R-Truth has really stepped up his game as a heel. His promos have been very entertaining. Boy, he's crazy. He's having way too much fun with the new gimmick. And the fact that he has kicked and screamed and beat up little Jimmy's until Cena finally said enough.
And then Shazam.
Yes. The gift for that is brilliant. Does that make Morrison talky-tawny? And if anybody gets that, thank you. Did anybody get that?
Yeah.
That makes Morrison who?
Okay, you didn't get it. Somebody did get it. Thank you.
Hi.
Only Shazam I'm aware of was what Gomer Pyle used to say.
Shazam!
You need to go read some comics, my friend. But despite all of this, it's a pay-per-view. Typho?
Well, I've loved watching the evolution of R-Truth. And his new character's been great with the little Jimmy hating and Confederate Army uniform wearing. And as much as I would love to see John Cena get God at capital punishment, John Cena goes over clean.
That boy?
Wall putting over anyone that's not named John Cena. Cena wins handily.
Jim.
Shall I do the theme? Da 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 da.
Yep.
Da 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 da. Super Cena triumphs over. No, I'm not going to say that about the Confederate outfit because that'll get me booted off the show permanently. wow! All
what,
I
angry
about
black
that
man?
Is, wow! What was that?
Angry black man?
Yeah. Okay, that works too. No, that actually would be the term I would use. That's actually the term. That's the perfect term. I love the R-Truth character. It's great. It's just not. Cena will not sell out to him, if you will. Cena wins, and it's vintage Cena. Oh my!
Brian,
you want to know something? I'm going to go against the grain here.
Oh,
interesting.
Here's the thing. R-Truth is gotten so over with the audience. They're not going to kill this storyline off immediately. They're not going to do it. Okay? I don't think they're going to do it. Here's what I would do. Cena wins. But after the match is over, R-Truth waylays him with a chair and takes the belt and runs out of the arena with it.
He hits him with a folding chair?
Yes, and then he hits him again.
Yes.
Ah. So Cena wins, but R-Truth wins the segment.
Well, here's what I would, yeah, because what I would do is I'd have Truth somehow waylay him, knock him out, take the belt, and then for the next 2 weeks have him walking out saying, I'm a real champion. I'm not the champion for little Jimmy. I'm the champion for me.
I like it.
Have him bring out his old NWA World Heavyweight title belt and say he's the real world champion.
Now they can't do that. They can't do that. Ric Flair hawked it.
Well, now that WCW owns all the property of WWE owns the property of WCW, maybe they could put the Juggalo belt. No, that's a bad idea.
Boy.
Yes.
Fourth.
So Cena.
Yep. Cena had to sell a bottle of water on Raw. There is no way that he is not winning.
That's point enough.
Cena no sells half the stuff in that I Quit match with The Miz, but he'll sell a bottle of water.
Yeah.
Well,
I think he owes our truth money. I don't know.
No, he sells merchandise, and you got to buy the water. You got to buy that bottle of water.
$5.50 if you know where to get it. Yeah.
So yeah, I'm with you guys.
But Cena doesn't sell as much merch as Zack Ryder. But anyway, I'm sorry.
There you go. But to that, yes, Cena is. There's no way they're putting the belt on Truth, and if they do, no, I'm not going to say I ate my hat because then they will do it. Cena wins. Readily and handily. Although, if Morrison ends up being cleared, maybe he'll go poke his head in there and R-Truth will go batshit and then get caught in the STF.
Even if they did put the title on R-Truth, it'd go right back to Cena next month.
Next day.
Oh, yeah, next day is right. On a 3-hour
they've
auto
already made
run,
it. They've made it pretty clear to me, at least, that it's their intention to have Cena have the title at WrestleMania for his match with The Rock. So,
I honestly don't think he's going to lose it until, well, he'll retain it there too, but, I mean, he's going to take the belt into WrestleMania next year and beyond.
And to wrap up our show, there is one last thing I have to do. I've got to press this button. Jeff Hardy is now in room 101. That is a good. That is a good way to start our new season.
Hooray! All
right. So that'll do it for the show because we're going to jump fall right into the archive.
Yep. And I'm going to head on out.
If I can give one real quick plug.
Sure, please.
Really quick. Weird Al Yankovic has a new record coming out on Tuesday called Alpocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Pick it up.
I'll do that after my move.
Yep. And I do have one thing to plug before I get out myself. And that is actually something I'm doing on the freakingawesomenetwork.com. Or freakingawesomenetwork.com, not the. That would be Tales of the Old Gray and Purple Box, a podcast that I do with Annie or Andrew Hirsch, where we talk about old Super Nintendo games. This week's podcast is all about Donkey Kong Country, so please go check it out. We really want the plays to go up above single digits. So please listen. Enjoy. All right?
Definitely.
All right.
Sure. Enjoy.
Jim, do you have anything to plug?
I will plug being the shameless whore that I am, according to Carl. No, kidding. The season finale of the CLW 83 night shift on Saturday nights, or should I say technically now since we're in archives tonight, at 10:30 Eastern. Charlie Spice will be the special guest of host Chris Clark, and yours truly, your announcer, Jim Williams. So give it a listen, 10:30 to 11, the season finale of the CLW 83 Night Shift, which also features Carl Chenier's Word of the Day. Don't ask, you'll have to just listen to it. And also a couple of other fun little segments. It's a late night type, variety type show only with us, so enough said.
There you go. Hi, folks.
Like me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, buy the t-shirt. Wait a minute, this isn't the right show.
You don't have a shirt, do you?
Not that I'm aware of.
Unless
but if you do, if you want to follow somebody on Twitter, our good buddies over at TNA Creative, they're a good bunch of youngsters over there.
Wow. And of course, you have a thing.
Nothing to plug, but I just wanted to talk about one thing, the fact that I appreciate one of the greatest athletes from Cleveland, Sheamus.
Yes!
Oh, win.
Oh.
That'll make him forget about LeBron James.
Yes.
That stupid piece of shit.
I'm moving to Sheamus. The decision has been made. I'm moving to Cleveland, fella.
I'm got to take my talent over to South Beach.
He'll burn to death.
He's taking his talents to the play of the state by the lake. That's right, folks. Makes it feel like
Bella.
Home, the state by the lakes. Fella.
All right.
That's funny.
But I have the only thing I have to plug. Yeah, the only thing I have to plug is tomorrow will be my last wrestling soiree for a little while. I'll be up in Owosso, Michigan, for Victory Independent Pro Wrestling. If you're in the neighborhood, please come check us out. If not, do look them up on the web. It's a great little fed. Joseph and Jamie do a wonderful job, and I'm going to miss working for them.
Hmm. Oh, yeah, there is something else we forgot to talk about. DJ raping the GNC store.
I will reiterate my statement about Road Rash from humping the wall.
I thought that would have put a muscle.
Mm.
Think about
it. It's crazy.
All right. Good night, you guys.
Good night, Brian.
Wow, that's... Wow. I'm just shell-shocked.
Well,
you
say
classic,
from...
PR.
Well, I blame DJ, but apparently he ransacked a GNC store of a bunch of samples and stuff and put them in a box and shipped them to Colt Cabana.
DJ Hyde?
And then Colt had the gall to say something about it on his podcast this week.
Well, the man is an officer of the law.
Yeah, not bad.
You don't mess with Officer Colt Cabana.
Officer Colt Cabana.
Yeah, you can't say that with a straight face.
Officer Colt Cabana has a dark and shady past. I know that he does coke zero.
There you go. Very straight edge of him, yes.
I've got the evidence of him and 10 other wrestlers stealing Coke Zero from IPW.
By the way, you mentioned, Nikki, about going, your last, gig for a while. Have you been scouting out up in the place where you're going to be relocating about any indie feds up there?
I haven't had a chance to research that. I'm hoping that if any of my worker friends on Facebook have been out that way, if they can throw me a couple of names to contact.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody would like an obnoxious manager who promises not to touch the books, both accounting and wrestling.
Yes.
I work for reasonable rates, and my weekends will be... initially, they're going to be a bit of a crapshoot, but I'm going to, once my schedule settles in, then I'll know what I'll be able to do.
Right. Well, there you go. Hey, get the word out on here. I mean, a few people listen to us, hey.
Your tagline should be, I work for reasonable rates, yet TNA can't afford me.
Ooh.
Wow. I like it.
I do like that.
That's
perfect for
a
business card.
In all seriousness, when I heard about Jesse Neal qualifying for food stamps, my jaw just hit the floor.
It's sad. I mean, nothing shocks me with TNA, but still.
And the first time I heard that, I thought it was a work after the story had broken about the guy who won the lottery but was still on food stamps. Because it was topical and relevant. I'm looking at you, Vince Russo. You would.
He would. Anything he can do anything that's topical or relevant he's done, I mean, look, he's ripped off the Jersey Shore. I mean, come on.
I wouldn't be surprised if he attempted to rip off the hecklers at the press conference yesterday.
Pervert!
Are you going to keep that impressive physique?
Oh, please. Anthony Weiner would be best suited on the old Richard Bay show for the Mr. Pewdieverse contest. Come on.
Though I would like to have him show up and plead his case on Jon Stewart after the R. Kelly number that went with it.
Yeah.
I give it
Pretty
2 weeks before line. Russo as a character on Impact named Wiener.
I'm telling you, I'm convinced TNA Creative, or at least Russo, is a stoner. the way they throw some ideas out to be topical and edgy and funny, it's stoner humor. And fat stoner humor. Like they couldn't afford the good stuff. Not that I would know about this, because I don't do anything. I don't endorse such things. Like, they don't get the good stuff. They get the bad stuff to smoke, and it makes them really wacky.
They can't afford to have Brian Kendrick book and wrestle.
No, well, he had to go with the Price is Right, and he had to lose whatever range game, whatever the hell he was playing. Yeah.
Well, I figure RVD would be bringing them at least quality stuff, but maybe he just doesn't like to share.
Well, you have to remember, you know, sharing involves caring, and RVD, and plus, well, once you have such a stash, you need munchies, and TNA can't afford the munchies. So.
But I thought they got Samoa Joe. Never mind.
No.
Well, at least with Chris Harris and Tommy Dreamer away now, the catering should be a little more accessible for everyone else.
Yeah, but there's still Samoa Joe and Matt Hardy.
and Matt, enough said. And you know Jeff's tag teaming up with his brother at times backstage, getting some grub.
Between their munchies and their tasers?
All I know is watching Matt's girlfriend's reaction to being tased. You might want to make it three.
That's just the dumbest video. I mean, jeez.
All right, guys.
Let's
call it a night here, because I think we've covered just about everything.
Yes, we have. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I am going to actually order this pay-per-view. Yes, I know. I'm a masochist.
Everyone who orders the show should get a free Little Jimmy t-shirt.
Dude, I'll take an R-Truth plushie doll. That'd be fun. It has to be him in the Confederate soldier outfit, though, because that was just classic. That was just, oh my God.
Only
could I have a gold string for him to sing the Little Jimmy song?
Why did Colin King have to talk over it? Come on. I wanted that in the clear. For my own cynical purposes.
I'm just picturing a teddy bear with red and piercing.
Oh, boy.
And a Confederate uniform. Actually, that's kind of amusing. Then again, a teddy bear with tattoos still cracks me up, so. What? Tattooed teddy bear sounds like a name of an all-female punk band.
Yeah, it does, actually, doesn't it?
I don't know if there are any Botchamania fans here, but I was reading some local paper. As soon as I saw, a girl band with the name Windjammers, I just had to look away and laugh.
Oh, yes. Oh. By the way, be forewarned, future episode of the show, you will hear the Tony Chimmel screw-ups as an open. Oh, God.
Oh,
cool. The following
who will be champion this week?
The women's championship. It's women, you idiot! Women! The following is the Gravy Bowl match, and it is for the WWF Women's Championship. Women's!
You probably do a 2-hour show on Lillian Garcia screw-ups.
but Lillian's easier on the eyes than Chimmel last I checked, so we'll let her pass. That's wrong, though. Chimmel's a Philly guy, too. I can't boss on him too much. No, but I didn't know what the term wild line meant until I saw it in Botchamania, so that was fun. Learned something.
Yeah. Well, Chimmel, it's okay to pick on Chimmel because all of the wrestlers do.
Yes. Yes.
Somewhere I still have the picture of Chimmel with Alberto Del Rio's scarf completely wrapped around his face.
That's an improvement for him, actually. Yes.
No, I don't have a picture of that, but at one of the SmackDown house shows, the mic was sitting on the mat, and he'd reach down for it, and one of the wrestlers was already out there, and he keeps pulling it away from him.
I got to sit ringside right behind Tony Chimmel last year during the Stanley Cup Finals when he and CM Punk had the bet going on the Blackhawks Flyers series during one of the downtimes. This was masked CM Punk, by the way. Masked CM Punk came over and just slapped Tony Chimel in the face.
Damn.
I ignored Chimel most of the night, though, because they also had, what the hell is her name? Savannah, Angela Fong. She did NXT,
right.
And she stayed there the whole night. Any break that happened, I just kind of talked to her, and Chimel just butted in occasionally.
You're
I pretty much told Chimel to shut up.
Did you give her the number? Did you give her the phone number, Tyvo?
No, I did not.
On the subject of Tony Chimel and NXT, am I the only one that thought he really enjoyed himself dancing in that segment?
it's like he's never been with a woman before. I'm kidding. No, people, no.
I reiterate, you are allowed to pick on Chimel.
But I'll cut him some slack. Actually, well, I look like Cole was having more fun because he's Michael Cole, so there you go.
Michael Cole needs to be shot repeatedly.
But this begs a quick question. I thought, you know, Vince and the powers that be had, for lack of better terms, a creative hard-on for a three-man booth, and they reverted back to just Lawler and King on Raw. Do you think it's just going to stay that way for a while, or are they going to bring a third man in eventually?
I wish they would just do two-mans and pull Cole off of SmackDown.
Well, yeah.
He doesn't need to be on both shows.
Cole is still doing his angry troll character on SmackDown more than he is on Raw, and it's just really irritating.
Let Booker T be a heel on SmackDown and get rid of Cole. I'd rather see Booker T go into Black Snow mode instead of listen to Cole.
I want Booker T to get up, and I want him to throw Michael Cole into the chief seat and be the color guy.
Roll him up into the tarp.
I said color, not colored. Stop that.
I did not insinuate. No. This is show
we did
down
get one of Booker T's great moments tonight on SmackDown during that Divas, the six Diva tag match, when it just started breaking down into a big brawl. And Booker T just did the slowest, loudest possible, oh my goodness.
I will try to track that for a soundbite then.
All I know is, well, I'm not trying to say Cole is in his league, I would like to see Booker throw him out of the arena like Gorilla did to Heenan that one time on Raw.
With toilet paper coming out of his bag.
Because at that point, they would have a whole bunch of people behind Booker T throwing toilet paper at Cole.
Would that mean a month later that Cole shows up on Impact?
They can have him.
They can have him, and
the first thing that'll happen is Taz will kick his ass.
Exactly. No. Cole will go to ROH to be reunited with Kevin Kelly since they're looking for a new color commentator, apparently. So
every commentary Cole's just like, this guy's an indie nerd. Look at him.
He's a dweeb. He's a loser.
This guy's just like Daniel Bryan.
He doesn't even own a
TV. This guy works at an inner. He's big. He's wrestled in high school all over the country. Big deal. I wrestled in WrestleMania. It was main event.
Look at this guy. He's wrestling in front of 500 people right now. So you're commentating in front of him. So I was on WrestleMania.
Maybe on ROH you could actually say fag. I don't know, but probably not. Probably
Vlad,
not.
Why didn't you revisit this?
Yeah.
Then, say, a low-key return comes up. Cole's like, look at this nerd. I remember this guy. This guy flamed out in the big time.
He was nothing. And he only got there because of Lane Cool.
I should know. I was there. I'm a broadcast journalist. I was a war correspondent.
Okay, then he can imitate the Caval face again.
He needs to go to whatever. If John Heidenreich is still wrestling, he needs to go to wherever independent promotion Cole would be in.
Yes.
You know, Heidenreich is still wrestling.
Well, that's a good point. One of the guys, I'll bring this up quickly as well, one of the guys on Facebook, I don't know if it was posted to the NAWC or the WrestleChat Facebook, actually got a picture taken with a certain silver-tongued, if you will, Tony Schiavone.
That was EJ. You got a picture with Tony. Because I made comment that Tony Schiavone does officially have a face for radio.
Oh, you ain't kidding.
And I'm sure it was the greatest night in the history of our sport.
I thought he always said the greatest night in the history of our industry. I thought it was industry, not sport. And maybe it wasn't. I don't know.
I think he did both.
Yeah, he probably did. He orgasmed like few can. No, but Tony, of course, now AAA play-by-play guy for the Gwinnett Braves in Georgia. No, I mean, before he went with the Crockett's, he called the Carolina League baseball, if I'm not mistaken, so it's kind of going back to his roots a little bit. And he had done, like, pre- and post-game for the Braves after he left, after WCW folded, I should say. So.
Right.
If anybody got the new Best of Nitro DVD on disc 3, they show the 6-man tag match from August of 99 where Hogan comes back in the red and yellow for the first time. And during the entrances, I think Sting's coming out. It's Hogan, Sting, and Goldberg against Kevin Nash, Sid, and Rick Steiner. They're doing entrances, and Tony Schiavone says something about how every eye is on this. People from the merchandise stands and concession stands are coming down. I'm like, Schiavone, it's August of 1999. There's 500 people in that building.
And as for any eyes at home, they put the channel over because they heard about Jericho.
Yeah.
The same night.
That'll put butts in the seats. Sure.
I forgot how fun it was listening to Schiavone still in super hype mode when there's, like, no one watching.
Yeah.
Making a big deal about the Millennium Man.
Yeah, Sid Vicious, the Millennium Man. One of the great gimmicks for WCW.
Not to be confused with Conan O'Brien's Moleculo, the Molecular Man. So.
It's also great on that DVD that they put the night Bischoff and Russo take over. They put their whole opening show promo with everybody in the ring on there. So you get to listen to Bischoff repeat his scissors comment to Sid twice. The crowd no-sells it both times.
Because they have no idea what the hell he's talking about.
The only person who reacted was Mark Madden on commentary.
Well, that's it.
He's a smart.
Oh, my goodness.
I didn't even know what he was talking about, but when I did find out, I was like, holy shit, that is just rude. Gentlemen, I hate to do this, but I'm gonna demand that we close up shop.
Okay, no problem. Good night, all.
Good night, guys.
Good night.
But thanks again. It was a good show.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Blog Talk Radio, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, iTunes, and CLWA3.com. CLWA3 Network is all over the internet, online, on demand, and on the go.